fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Yesterday I talked about a powerful line from John's Gospel, verse 12, where Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." I think in many ways, as I began the program yesterday, the reasons I wanted to reflect on some of the things Jesus said about living in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? Jesus, I think we need, right now, friends, we need to be laying hold of the light, because there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of confusion, tremendous amount of confusion in the world, and a kind of chaos, a destabilization. Over the last few months, I spent time in Italy, spent time in England, spent time in Canada, of course, time here at home, and every place I go, there's a kind of underlying anxiety in the lives of many people, whether I'm talking to cab drivers, whether I'm talking to politicians, whether I'm talking to church people, you know, other Catholics. There's just a kind of anxiety about the state of the world. People feel it in their bones. There's tremendous change, and it's very chaotic going on. And of course, there's a tremendous pushback on the church at this time, more than probably we've ever experienced before in our culture. There's an abandoning of the faith. And there's a turning away and there's a walking away from the faith, which is a kind of light. So Jesus is saying, "I'm the light of the world." And yesterday I talked a little bit about how important it is for us right now as believers is to honor the Lord's Day. And as Catholics, to go to Mass every Sunday and to let the liturgy, let the Mass, the public worship of the church, let it teach you, form you, strengthen you, feed you. Jesus himself and his word is present. And in his body, blood, soul, and divinity is present. And he wants to feed you. And he wants to cleanse our minds. I mean, one of the things that the liturgy does, as a body, we come together and the liturgy forms us. It reminds us of what's real. What's to be human. What we're made for. The church is the light of the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He said it himself first, and he passed on the light to those who follow him. He said, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You'll be the light of life. You'll walk in the light." The Eucharist is the source and summit of the faith, the church teaches us. It's the source of God's life coming to us week after week, day after day. It's the summit of the faith because in the summit, think for a minute, the summit, that Eucharist we celebrate is a participation in the Eucharist, the glory, the celebration of Christ's victory in heaven. We're put in touch with it. It's a foretaste of the banquet. It's a real participation, sacramentally, in the victory of Jesus Christ over the powers of sin and death. It's the summit because it reaches to God's reality, God's revelation to us, and our touching heaven, the reality of heaven. It's the source because our faith flows from the life, the incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There is the power, the only power, that is capable of bringing man from darkness to light. Jesus is the light, as he told the Pharisees who were debating. He knows where he came from. He knows the Father. He knows creation. And he was absolutely vindicated. Everything he said was vindicated in his resurrection from the dead. And this is the game-changing reality, because Jesus passed from death to life, and he entered into what the scriptures teach as the new creation. Jesus came to draw us out of the darkness, which is a way of describing the whole regime of fallen power here in this world, and the powers of the world of flesh and the devil. And the church is very clear, basing her teaching on the scripture, that we're born into sin and that humanity without God's mercy, without the cross of Jesus Christ and the love expressed there and the shedding of his blood and his mercy toward us, man is in a death-directed state and he can't do anything about it other than massively distract himself from it. Jesus came and revealed the truth about us, and it's revealed right there so perfectly in the Eucharist, and it helps ground us, helps restore sanity. And remind us, yes, our whole life ought to be directed to God. Yes, love and obedience to God and neighbor is the ground of everything. Not just an emotional feeling, but actually the decision to will the good of another. First, say yes to will the love that's been expressed to us from God to love God back. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In the economy of God, in the teaching of Jesus, and what it means to follow him, and to enter into what he's saying, those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the very light of life. He said, if you obey me, that's love. He showed it on a cross. He obeyed the Father. He came, he condescended. He's speaking to you in that Eucharist. He's speaking to you from the cross. And he's saying, trust me. This is the way to reality, to truth. This is the truth that will set you free. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, he talks a little bit more about light. And I find this so interesting. I think in the past few months, I've talked about this one other time. I want to read it here because, again, it helps us understand what does Jesus mean when he said he's the light of the world. And it says, first chapter, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, so who's the Word? The Word is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. He became flesh. He entered into the world that he himself created. And here's the line I think that's so important. Verse 4. I mean, it's all important, but this is the one that I want to talk about today. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And here, John, the writer of the gospel, saying, in him was life, and the light that Jesus brought was the life that was in him. Again, here's another contrast. The contrast between life and death, darkness and light, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. The light, ultimately, that the apostles came to see was what John, in his first letter, would say. What we've seen, what we've touched, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. Something no one had ever seen before. Something completely beyond the natural order. Divine life came. And it's revealed to us in the person of Jesus. And we touched it, we saw it. And we know what it is. Not only did he perform signs and wonders, not only did he have authority that the world had never seen before, but we saw him crucified, a horrific, bloody, torturous death. And we're here to tell you, he rose from the dead. We saw him. We touched him. But not only us, not the 12, not only us, but five, as much as 500 people saw him at one time. And what did we see? John tells us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son of God. Friends, when they beheld and they touched and they saw the risen Christ, they understood for the first time. These were, many of the apostles were practicing Jews, so they believed in God. But this was far beyond anything the Jews had ever seen before. This is God come in the flesh, and then them actually seeing the future of the new humanity, the new creation, existence beyond death, the death problem solved and destroyed, really. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it, that's what Scripture said. There was a light in Jesus. That light was shed into the darkness and dispels all the darkness. And what is that light? John's telling us here, it's the life that's in him. Eternal life is in Jesus. The apostles understood that they weren't just following a wise teacher. They weren't just following an heroic leader, a miracle worker. They understood that they literally touched the divine life in the person of Jesus Christ, and that birthed hope in their hearts. And when Jesus, the Messiah, filled with glory, raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, is at the right hand of the Father in absolute and total glory right now. And he's clothed in glory and majesty and living in absolute freedom. And from that place, he's one of us. He gives to us his own spirit. And he comes to dwell in us. He gives us a share in his light. He opens our eyes. He gives us a new power and a new capacity. He sheds light into our heart. And so in the core of our being, in the seat of our decision, he touches the wound that's deep within us, that wants to resist God, that runs scared and wants to just be, you know, define our own reality into the constant battle and struggle. Who am I? Why am I here? Why can't I be happy? Why can't I satisfy my longings, my deepest longings? Why is life so hard? Jesus comes to dwell in us, and in the power of the Spirit, he begins to shed his light into our hearts. St. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that through the gospel has real power. The message of the lordship and reign of Jesus, the reality of his victory over the power of sin and death, and the new existence and glory that belongs to Jesus in the power of the Spirit. He shares that same thing with us. And when we hear the gospel, St. Paul says, God sheds his light into our hearts. The light that was revealed, the beginning of all creation, the light that's in Jesus Christ, that light gets shed into our hearts. And by faith, we begin to see who Christ is. We begin to see who Jesus is. And the eyes of our hearts are enlightened, like Paul would pray, begging in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, that you could see the glory and majesty of Jesus. And we, through faith, by God's grace, come to see the beauty and the majesty of Jesus, and we're touched by his life. A life that's powerful. A life that changes us and makes a new creation. So John tells us, in him was life, and the life that was in him was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Friends, God has shed his light into a dark world. And he comes in the person of Jesus and says, be not afraid. Come with me. Let me take you by the hand. He turns the lights on in us. And he comes to heal us. And the healing begins here with the gift of faith and hope and love and entering into his church through baptism and beginning to live the new life and to be fed by Jesus. It begins here, but it ends in sharing what belongs to him, absolute glory. As Jesus in this world kept his eyes fixed on the Father, because he knew where the truth was. He knew where fulfillment and happiness was. This is our way through this life, friends. He said life would be difficult here on earth. That it's not a joyride from here to the end. It is a trial because we live in enemy-occupied territory. There's a lot of darkness in the world, but we're called to be the light in the darkness. Not to be gripped by fear and anxiety, but to say, yes, I know who I am. I know who holds my hand. I know where I'm going. And keep your eyes fixed on him. So you can be the light at this time in the world. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.